Welcome to The Journey to Worthy, a feel-good podcast for women who are on a powerful journey to self-love. And wait a minute. Hold on. While most of that's true, we all know the journey is not always rainbows and butterflies. Sometimes it's really tough. That's why on this podcast, you'll hear real, raw, and mostly unedited stories about the complex journey to finding self-love. I'm your host, Rachel Spencer. After battling an eating disorder and finally realizing my own self-worth, I'm here to help you see that no matter how difficult your journey is, you've been worthy all along. Hey guys, welcome back. Today we have an awesome guest. Her name is Whitney Catalano. She is an intuitive eating dietitian, helping women recover from binge eating, make peace with their bodies, break free from their inner bully. Ooh, I love that. And learn how to use their story to inspire others. Whitney, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. I have so much I want to talk to you about. I'm so glad that I found you over on Instagram. If you guys aren't following her, she is at Trust Your Body Project.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that I found you because I noticed that we had a similar message. And basically, can you just go into your story and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, where do I start? Like everyone else, I fell into the trap of diet culture at a young age. I grew up a little bit bigger, and I didn't know until puberty hit and the whole world seems to tell you that your body looks a certain way. And then it was like, oh, am I supposed to do something about this? And so, you know, kind of that classic, very sad story that I think a lot of my clients end up having as well, which is like Weight Watchers at a really early age. My first was Jenny Craig in like freshman year of high school, which is just so cringy that an adult woman like put a 14-year-old on Jenny, like on a calorie restrictive diet and on Jenny Craig. It just blows my mind. But anyway, yeah. So I basically like went through all of that, and then my relationship with food got increasingly disordered and I didn't realize it. And I felt constantly out of control around food. And I was studying to become a dietitian. I think I initially wanted to become a dietitian to do what I do today. Like I really wanted to help people. I was really interested in therapy and psychology, but I didn't want to be a therapist. So I was like, ooh, food psychology, that's kind of whatever, that's similar. So I kind of went that route, but then as my relationship with food got more and more disordered, my nutrition studies became about controlling my relationship with food and controlling my body and sort of, you know, fitting myself into this box of what I was supposed to be, because they give you this really weird talk. At least they gave us this weird talk, you know, one of my first nutrition classes ever, which was like, you've got to walk the talk. You can't, you know, be sitting. And they never explicitly said anything about our bodies, but they were like, you can't be sitting there with a client, like drinking a diet soda, for example. And it's like, okay, so I have to walk the talk. It got very intense. And so fast forward a few years, continuing my education and sort of getting closer to getting my credentials, I sort of realized how disordered my relationship with food was. And I, over the process of going to a lot of therapy and learning about intuitive eating and never feeling comfortable with telling people how to lose weight, like I never felt comfortable with that as a working professional. In college, on the other hand, I was very comfortable with telling people, like giving people unsolicited advice, which again was also how my disorder showed up. But yeah, no, as I started working and just like growing older and coming into myself more, I was like, oh, this feels weird. And then I discovered the Health at Every Size movement and I read the research and I was like, oh, it feels weird because it's not backed by research, and Health at Every Size is, and intuitive eating is, and like, this is so amazing. And this is what I think I was born to do. So it was kind of this like, everything sort of clicked, and then I really went full force and committed into my recovery process and into helping others.
Yeah, wow. I love that. Now, I think that intuitive eating, I love that you mentioned that because we do gain so much control over food whenever we are stuck in diet culture. And we hear, oh, well, just practice intuitive eating, but it's never really explained what that is or what that looks like or what that feels like. Can you kind of lay that out for us?
Yeah. It's tough. Even I teach intuitive eating and I still don't know how to explain it. It's peaceful. It feels very aligned. You're no longer forcing things. I feel like, you know, part of intuitive eating is understanding like basic gentle nutrition. And that's sort of the last step. Because obviously like that can quickly become diet mentality if you introduce it too early. I also think that a lot of people who, you know, transition from diet culture to intuitive eating, like they know enough. Like we all like know all the rules, you know, we know everything. So it's really letting go of those rules and learning what it means to eat foods for enjoyment, learning that food is not just fuel, that food serves so many different purposes, like community and pleasure. And sometimes you just want that taste. You're like satisfying a particular taste. Sometimes you are eating because you're about to go do something. Anticipatory eating is a huge part of intuitive eating. So like if you're going to be working all day, knowing how to pack a lunch and like nourish yourself so that you aren't, it's not 5 o'clock and you're absolutely, you know, famished and all of a sudden you're forced to make a decision that like isn't something that's actually going to make you feel good. And it's also accepting that not every decision you make for food is going to make you feel good. You know, some decisions aren't, and that's cool. Like it's all just keep on
pushing. I love that. It's like, it's all part of the process. It's like, first you have food rules, but then if you have intuitive eating rules, then where do we go from there? So I love that how you say, you know, some days you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days with food. But taking a step back to whenever you first, oh God, you went on Jenny Craig whenever you were, you know, a freshman in high school, but you said that you notice going through puberty that society was telling you that there was something wrong with your body. Can you kind of describe that process and like what you first noticed? Was it a magazine or was it TV or what?
So I always was a little bit bigger than my friends. I gained more weight in puberty than my friends did. But even as a child, I was always a little bit bigger. I remember like in second grade, a boy that I liked calling me pregnant. And I was like, I'm not pregnant. Like I'm in second grade. Like, what does that mean? But I didn't internalize. Well, maybe I did. I don't know if I still remember it then. Perhaps I did. But in my mind, like I didn't really internalize it yet. And then I remember being in eighth grade, I think. And I went on, and again, like I didn't fit into my friend's clothes. I knew I looked different. I knew that boys didn't really like me. I knew that it was just always very complicated, but I went to an all girls school. So I think I had a different experience than someone else might. But I remember like eighth grade, I think towards the end of eighth grade, I went to a wedding, or maybe the beginning of freshman year, I went to a wedding, and it was a wedding for my family friends. And everyone, and so it's like my godmother and all of her children, and they are all like these very thin, beautiful, successful, they're all like kind of what you might consider to be very like elite LA suburbia family, mm-hmm. and all super nice and very just like caring, and they've always loved me, and it's just they're kind of like the whole package. Like they're such amazing people, and they all looked a certain way, and I was like, I don't look like that. And I had this dress that I wore to the wedding. And I remember like, I loved the dress, and I got to the wedding and I was like, I hate this dress. I hate the way that I look. I hate everything about my body. And I was having like an internal crisis, like a meltdown. And I looked at my mom a couple days later and I was like, Mom, I don't look like everyone else. And I want to do something about it. Like, I don't know what I want to do, but I want to do something about it. And she was like, oh my gosh, like your dad and I have been waiting for you to come to us about it. And I was like, okay.
Oh no.
Yeah. I was like, sounds good. So she was like, I'll take you to Jenny Craig on, you know, Monday. We'll go together. And I was like, okay, sounds good. Like, cool. So I remember, this is like so bad, I cringe thinking about this, but I remember when I first started on Jen and Craig and I had my meals and I had my little side salads that you could eat. And it was like this whole, you know, rigid thing. And I would run around school and be like, I'm going to be skinny. Like that's how simple it all was back then, because I was so, I don't know. I was so young and so just like, I had a one track mind of like, I don't like myself and I need to change it.
Yeah. Well, and it's like when it comes to your parents, like they're only trying to, you know, quote unquote, help you or what they think right. is going to help you because they love you, but they don't realize that they're actually causing harm by putting those thoughts into our heads whenever we're so young. So do you still have a good relationship with them? Have you been able to go back and talk to them and let them know that that was a significant moment that led to, you know, your disorder?
Yeah. So, that kind of started it all, but there was a later moment that kind of really solidified everything. But with my mom, it's been interesting because I have been living with her while I build my business and sort of get my feet under me. And she's not home a ton, but she's very involved. Like she likes to like watch all my videos on social media and she watched all my posts. And like, she's like a proud mom.
My mom too. My mom
yeah.
too.
she likes to just understand. And it took her a very long time to understand this whole thing because obviously like she didn't know any different than diet culture. That's what she was raised in. That's what she subscribes to, like all of that. It's been really amazing to watch her transformation because it's one of those things where she has really come around and she understands like how she still doesn't really understand like the degree to which she might have like had a role in it, because I don't think that she necessarily needs to understand. But she does acknowledge it and she's like really come around to like understanding what it looks like, even if she doesn't. I don't know. It's right. kind of confusing to explain.
No, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's like, you don't want to hurt her either by being like, you started this, because, you know, that's not the intention behind it at all. And, you know, my mom follows me too. And she's always like, well, I hope you know that I always thought you were beautiful. And I hope that I didn't add to that. So I definitely yeah. know what that's like, having a mom that's like trying to be super involved, but also is kind of sad looking back at your past. I mean, yeah. do you still have days to this day? I know that you've been in recovery and now you're actually a registered dietitian and you help other women with this, which I'll get to in a second. But do you still have days where you don't feel like you have control over your food or you don't love your body? And if so, what do you do?
Food is interesting because I do feel like I eat very intuitively now. It's not really a thing for me. Every time I've had and this is like, you know, kind of the core of my business, but every time I've had a moment where I feel like I am, because emotional eating is like my big thing, right? So every time I have a moment where I end up like really emotionally eating, sort of to the point that feels like an old version of myself and sort of this out of control-esque, it's never what it used to be. It's always this like learning opportunity. Like I end up just sitting there and thinking like, what am I going to learn from this and what can I take out of this? And then I use that as like a teaching opportunity as well. So I really like processing my thoughts online and I like to process separately and then sort of present it and be like, this is what I learned from it. And this is what I was ignoring. And like, here's the steps that I took. And then I'm able to like package those steps up and be like, you can use these steps. Like anyone can use these steps to figure out why you're emotionally eating, what's going on, like what it is that you are avoiding and then take it from there and start to make some changes.
Mm. Yeah. So, talk to me about the women that you work with who are struggling with these things.
Yeah. So right now I'm kind of shifting my business focus. So the women that I will be working with are going to tend to be more like on the entrepreneurial or like career oriented side, people who have an interest in inspiring and using their message online. And so basically the fifth step of this signature 5-step program is for them to be able to like decide what they want to share with their audience and how to communicate it in a way that's not harmful, how to communicate it in a way that doesn't build a brand on trauma.
Oh my God, yeah. So good.
Because you see a lot of that online is people who build a brand on trauma and then they get stuck in their trauma and it becomes very painful. They can't continue or move forward or grow as people. They're very stuck. And so What I want to teach people is like how to go through the entire healing process. And then at the end, be able to tell your story in a way that's like teaching from your scars and not your open wounds, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I love that because I talk about that in my business all the time as well. A lot of people don't realize that I'm a certified life and business coach. And I always say that whenever you're, you know, sharing your story with your audience, if you stay in that place of pain, I mean, it's great to share that part of your life. Like, we need to hear your struggles. Your audience needs to know that, you know, they can connect with you in that way. But if you stay in that place of pain, then it kind of leaves, you know, your audience feeling the same way, kind of down, and like they don't really know what to do with that pain. So I love how you say learning how to use that. And I love how you say break free from your inner bully. Talk to me a little bit about that. Does that have to do with the way people talk to themselves?
Yes. So that is quite possibly one of the biggest and to me most surprising aspects of my business, because that came from studying a particular style of therapy that I'm really interested in, and learning how to deal with my own inner bully and sort of my own thought spirals, and watching how my internal environment has so dramatically changed since I've learned how to talk back to my bully. And separate myself from my bully. And that, you know, I think something that really like rocked my world was that you don't have to believe every thought that you think. Like, yes, that can be really powerful in and of itself. Cause it's just like, oh, I don't, like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's become really powerful, because I think one of the things that gets so caught up is like, well, sure, maybe, you know, like, you can't have food freedom if you're still beating yourself up all the time, and if you're still trying to fix your body, and you're still trying to like mold yourself into this like image of perfection that you think you're supposed to look like. Yeah. And if you have this like fundamental, like deep issue with your self-worth, and you don't believe that you're worthy, or you don't believe that you are, you know, good enough at exactly as you are, then yeah, it's going to be this very long process of like constantly trying to fill a hole that you can't fill with dieting or body changes or whatever. Like, no amount of losing weight is going to ever fill that hole.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's your process like, though, to get people out of those thought patterns? I mean, I know obviously it's probably a long process, because there have been years and years of speaking to themselves in that way and disordered eating, but I know that a lot of people come to my page and they say, well, I know that you keep talking about self-love and body acceptance, but I just don't know where to start. I just don't think it's going to be possible for me to get there.
Yeah. So actually, one of the interesting things today, I was just talking with a client, and we were kind of talking, and we're in the sort of body image stage of it all. And I was like, oh, you know, are you open to loving your body? Like, I kind of just posed that question, because I had been trying to get her to like get to a point where we could talk about what loving her body would look like. But then I realized that like, I didn't even know if she was down for that. Like, I didn't even know if she wanted to. So yeah. I was like, hey, do you want to? And she was like, whoa, I don't know. And that was a really big breakthrough moment of like, one, I think you have to like first decide that you want to, that you think it's a possibility, even if you don't know what it looks like, just deciding that there is a possibility that you could love your body exactly how it is,
yes,
or accept your body. And then two, I like to start with the inner bully around food first, because I feel like that's a lot easier than your inner bully around your body.
Right.
So that shame, you know, if you watch Big Mouth, I don't know if you watch that on Netflix.
I do. Oh my God, the shame monster.
The shame monster, exactly. I always think of the shame monster, and I'm like, your shame monster is sitting there like telling you that you are like eating all of this, and you're out of control, and you're a problem, and all these things. And it's like, one of the first things that I teach is, okay, and this is something I talk about on Instagram a lot too, is like, okay, first separate yourself from the thought. You are not your shame monster. The shame monster is someone else. So you can say, I notice that I'm feeling that. I notice that I'm thinking. I notice that. Because then you are yourself, and the shame is another person.
Mm.
I also talk about naming your bully. So like, you know, my clients have come up with a very creative name. Some of my clients just call the bully like, that bitch keeps trying to like make me feel bad. I'm like, yeah, same. Like,
hashtag same.
Yeah. That's a classic. Yeah.
No, I love that. So starting with that and starting with, first of all, starting with making sure that you even want this for yourself. Exactly. And that you acknowledge that you want it for yourself, not just because everybody's talking about it and that life looks better. One thing that I also say to people is like, imagine your life without your disorder. Imagine what it would feel like to not have all of these body image issues. I mean, is that something that you work on with your clients as well? Because we can talk about the, you know, inner bully all day. We can talk about intuitive eating, but what about just not feeling good in their current body?
Right. Yeah. So the first step in my program is actually visualization. So we spend a lot of time visualizing and we kind of come back to the visual a lot because I found that, you know, it's nice like having this vision to work towards and it's necessary. You have to have something to work towards. Otherwise you're kind of just walking with no destination. That gets very confusing. But really that vision tends to change as the program continues on. And once you start to really understand who you are and what you look like as separated from your negative thoughts and how you go about your life and what matters to you and how maybe like your own perception of your self-worth has shown up in other areas of your life with dating and with jobs. I've had multiple clients who end up quitting their jobs in the middle of working together because they realize that they hate their bosses and they hate their jobs and that they've been miserable for like 20 years. And now all of a sudden they're not okay with it. And they're like, oh my gosh, I've never realized that I could just say, I'm not cool with that. And I was like, yeah.
Like I'm not happy, you know, being able to stand up for yourself.
Yes.
That's a huge part of getting rid of your inner bully as well. And confidence in general is being able to stand up for yourself in all areas of your life, not just with food, you know, not just with eating, not just your own body, but the people around you as well.
Exactly.
And coming back to that, I know that whenever I was going through recovery, I mean, I still believe that throughout my life I will be in recovery, but in the beginning stages of my recovery, I do not know where I would be without my community and the people around me. Do you have any specific relationships or people in your life that really helped you through that?
Yeah. So I got most of my friends on board. It's funny. My friends are so hilarious and like, I love them so much. A couple of my friends did have disordered relationships with food that they didn't realize before I started doing this work. And then a couple of my friends have like normal relationships with food, which is like, what's that? but they like totally started drinking the Kool-Aid as soon as I started my Instagram. They were like, wow, this makes so much sense. Like I'm here for it. And now they're like out here preaching without my, like, I'm not telling them to, you know, they're just out here. Like you would not believe the thing that someone said to me about bananas today. And I'm like, I know, right?
Oh my God. I know bananas, right? Like
yeah,
banana gate is what I always say. Like I love bananas. Quit telling me not to eat them.
Exactly. but yeah, so they were a big part of it and like learning how to set my boundaries with them and be like at the beginning before they knew any of this, just understanding like, hey, I don't want to hear about your body. I don't want to hear about your diet. If you diet, that's like on you. That's on you. That's your choice. I don't care. Like, but I don't want to hear about it because right now it feels unsafe for me. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about my body in a certain way. And it's been so cool because now like one of my friends who I always go to like workout classes with, like the workout instructor will say something like, you know, diet culture-y, mm-hmm. and her and I will just roll our eyes at each other and just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that person just said that, like, move it on, you know, keep it pushing. So
that's so, yeah. Awesome. It's so good just to have people in your life who understand.
Exactly.
And speaking of banana gate, as I like to call it, what do you think is the number one most BS food rule out there, or number one most diet culture aspect out there right now?
I would say there's two.
Please.
Probably the one. Oh, I don't know. I'm torn. So for the number one spot, I'm torn between, I've been hearing a lot about carrots being high in sugar recently, which is absolutely bonkers to me. I think that carrots are getting their like moment because
carrot
like,
gate.
I don't know what's happening with carrots right now, but I've been hearing a ton about carrots and I'm like, I don't get it. Like I just don't, it doesn't make sense in my brain. So that's tied for first with like the sort of, backlash against beans. Like everyone hates beans and thinks that, and that came from like the paleo era of like beans and legumes are like, and I love beans and legumes. Like I live on them. So I just don't get it. So that's tied for first place. And then I think the second place, is definitely like this whole 30 mindset. I think is just like, I have my issues with keto, which could be a whole different discussion in itself. Mm-hmm. But the problem with Whole30 that I in particular have, because keto, I know that there is no sustainability there. And everyone who tries keto will eventually not be on keto. Like that's not sustainable. You know, we can get into why that whole thing is not scientifically based, but whatever. So, but the Whole30 thing that really bothers me is this whole like, if you are not perfect, you have to start over. Like really rubs me the wrong way. And I think that is like one of the most harmful things out there right now. This mindset that you have to start over. And like in the rules, it literally says like, this is not hard. You know, what's hard is like lists all these things like cancer is hard. Like this is hard. And you're like, whoa, like you need to relax. This is not AA. This is food. Okay. You can't be addicted to food in the same way you're addicted to alcohol. We don't have the evidence for that. And also like who wants to live this way? Like, yeah, it just in particular drives me kind of bonkers. Cause I just don't.
That is so crazy. And that reminds me of, and Whole30 and, Jenny Craig going back to that reminds me of a quote that Dana Sukow says. She says, the next time that you are feeling insecure about your body, ask yourself, who is profiting off of this?
Yes.
And I think that's so interesting because it's so true that there are all of these food rules and these diets, but like diet culture does not care about you. Mm-mm. Like not at all. They're not trying to help you. And so it's so good that you brought that up. Now, going back to your Instagram, what made you want to start this large Instagram community? Or I guess whenever you started it, it wasn't large, but now you've grown this community of, you know, almost 11,000 followers who are on this mission of health at every size and intuitive eating along with you. And what made you want to start that community other than to start your business?
I mean, I've always liked social media. I think that's the only child in me who likes to process things online. And so obviously it is part of my business, but I started posting on Instagram before I even really knew what I was doing with my business, like specifically. So I really like educating. I like being a content creator. I like creating things that help people. Being a content creator in that sense is like very up and down for me because there are days when I feel like I'm the most creative person in the freaking world. Like I am just on one. And there are days when my brain could not be quieter. Like I just cannot think of a single thing and like words don't work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. It's got a lot of ups and downs, but for the most part, like I just feel very connected to my Instagram audience in particular. I feel very like I can make a good impact and like the way that I speak on Instagram and the way that I've sort of been able to change my message and kind of like, and tailor my message on Instagram has been really effective. And it's just fun for me. It's like, honestly, just fun. And it's something that I want to continue. Like that's a huge reason I started my Patreon is because I want to continue that regardless of whether or not anyone from Instagram converts into clients, you know, I want to just keep posting on Instagram because I like it. And I think it's fun.
Yeah. And you deserve to, you know, get paid for the amazing content that you put out into the world, because I feel like it's different because some people that create Patreon accounts, I'm a little bit confused, like no hate, but I'm like, okay, I'm like an Instagram model with a Patreon account. Like I'm paying you to give me sexy photos, which, hey, no hate, you do you. If people want to pay for that, that's great. But I think what's really cool is your content is all extremely educational. I mean, of course, there's always a day when you want to post, you know, a pretty photo and have a nice short little caption, but most of your content is like really, really well thought out. I mean, does it take you a lot of time?
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I think the reason I started my Patreon too is because I have a hard time with like knowing the boundary of like what is too much to share. I'm not very good at just sharing little snippets and then being like, oh, you know, go. Like, yeah. I really want to teach a concept when I sit down and post. I want to have that concept explained and then to go into my Instagram stories and like further explain the concept so that if you didn't get it the first time, you're gonna get it the second time. And then to like interact with people and like make sure that they're understanding, because I think that with all of the like nutrition information online that is so problematic, and I really hesitate to even call it nutrition information half the time, right. We need accounts on Instagram that are prioritizing like education. Granted, Instagram is never a replacement for personalized care, but yes. I also understand that like some days you aren't in a good place and you can't get the personalized care yet, or you can't afford it, you don't have access to it, and you scroll Instagram and it just makes you feel 10 times worse. And so if I can be an account that like might teach someone something or be a place that someone feels like safe that they can go to and like rely on to not be triggered, then that's cool. Like I'm yeah. all about that.
Well, and you don't just have your Instagram either. You have a separate Facebook group for some of the Patreon users, right? Can you tell us about that?
So right now, my Facebook group, the Trust Your Body Project group, and it's going to tie into, because I'm actually starting a podcast as well. So
nice!
Come on to mine eventually, and I can
return
the interview questions. But so I started the group because people had been asking for group for a while, but I just, you know, not making money on Instagram, like exclusively, I was just like, I didn't have the time for it. Mm-hmm. So now the Patreon like really allows me to do that. And eventually I'll get to the point where I can hire someone to help me moderate the group. But it's really nice because it's like $3 a month. You can join the group. It's the lowest price level. And then I have higher price levels for like content that I post exclusively to Patreon. But it's really, really cool. I love the group so far. There's like maybe 25 or 26 of us right now. It's super small. And we're all just like really supportive and everyone is sharing their stories and people are interacting with each other. And, you know, we have two people in there who have written books or are currently writing books. And we're just like, oh, that's so cool. Like everyone has so much going on. And then we devalue ourselves when it comes to like our bodies and food. So I wanted a place where we could just kind of like celebrate and like work through the difficult stuff. And
I love the intimacy of that, because not only do they get access to you on Instagram, but they also get that intimate access to you and also other, you know, like-minded girls and women and people on Facebook. And at the same time, like it's only, what'd you say, $3 a month?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's only $3 a month to be part of this community. But I feel like that's enough to where people actually take it seriously. Like they want to come and speak with the other women and learn from you. Whereas a lot of the time I find with free content, people kind of like get to it when they can, or they don't care about it as much. So it's really cool that you have a space for women who for the smallest amount can still contribute. But again, also have like a mastermind of other women. So that's really cool. That's just, if they go to patreon.com, that's just Trust Your Body Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, yeah. I just have a couple more questions for you before we pop off of here. So I have a lot of younger listeners mm-hmm. for the Journey to Worthy podcast. I would say, I'm not positive, but I know for a fact that one of my listeners is only 14. And that was so crazy to me that somebody, you know, at 14 is already dealing with all of this crap, is already dealing with an eating disorder and diet culture and trying to find their way in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I guess for the younger listeners, you know, between 14 to 18, what's a piece of advice for them now so that as they continue going through puberty, they don't get sucked further and further into diet culture?
That's something that's so interesting, because it's like the scars that you develop at 14 related to your body will haunt you until you're like 50. So, and I see it every day. I think the biggest thing is, one, like weight gain is normal and necessary, especially if you're a girl, like for your estrogen, like we need weight gain. And so you can go, your body changes dramatically from 14 to 18 and there is no getting around it. And your body will continue to change from 18 to 25. You know, it's like you are filling out and you are growing up, and to not fight it. Because the more you fight it, the more that you are setting yourself up for just being at war with yourself for the rest of your life. And that weight gain is a really beautiful thing. It's a really necessary part of the stage in life. And it's something that no one knows how to deal with. No one knows how to deal with it well. Like, we are all figuring it out. We're there. But if you can be the one person, I worked with a younger client for a little while. She was 16 when we started working together. And something that really like was empowering for her was she wanted to be the one person in her group that like ate normally and that like felt confident and that found confidence in other things. We focused a lot on like what she was interested in, what her passions were, what her like her relationship with like people, like how she interacted with people, what she liked, you know, what kind of things made her feel good throughout the day in terms of food, and just like and focused on the things that really matter, that's going to carry her through life, and not just like talking about bodies and talking about and like obsessing over that stuff. And the more we worked together, the more she was like, wow, I can't believe how much people actually talk about this stuff. Like, that really sucks. It's really boring. I don't want to talk about bodies anymore. Like, you know, why is everyone trying to like eat less? Like, we just need to just move on, like talk about other things that matter in the world. And I was like, yes, thank you.
I love that. And see, you impacted her at such a young age. Oh, I bet that feels so, so good. So fulfilling and amazing. Well, turning the tables on that, for our older listeners who have actually gone through a lifetime of hating their body and feeling like they have to look a certain way, be a certain way, or have gotten sucked into restrictive eating, what's one piece of advice that you could give them moving forward?
Write a letter to everyone who has made you feel hurt about your body. Don't send it to them. I want to put a huge asterisk there.
Yes.
Do not send it to them, because that letter is not for them. It's for you. This is something that I've been doing since I was in high school, and something that I have pretty much every client do, which is to write a letter. It's usually to a parent, maybe also to an ex, maybe to a friend who fat shamed them along the way or something like that. But to the people who hurt you and made you feel less than, that made you feel broken, go dig up those old wounds and write it out. Get it out of you. Stop carrying that around, because it's likely that you are holding on to a lot of beliefs about yourself that you never really like agreed to carry about yourself, that someone else told you you adopted and internalized, and that was the end of the story. You never went back and questioned those beliefs. You never went back and questioned any of that. And to grieve that and to let it go, to write this letter where you're like crying over your computer and you're like, I'm so mad at you for this, is like one of the most freeing things in the world, because you get it out and you kind of release these beliefs about yourself that you don't need.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm going to go write a letter right now. Oh my God. That is so, so good. You heard it here first. Whitney says, write a letter, but don't send it.
But don't send it. Oh my gosh. The letter, if you end up sending a letter to someone, it's always the second draft, because you'll say some really mean stuff in the first draft that they don't need, that no one needs, including yourself. Just get it out.
Just for you.
Yeah. Bury it in your computer and then move on.
Oh my God. So are you accepting new clients right now, and how can people reach you?
I am accepting new clients. I'm kind of in a transition phase because I'm finalizing my new program, but I definitely am accepting new clients. So WhitneyCatalano.com/contact I think is probably a good way, or you can DM me and like ask what's up and we can set up a call. And I can explain more about how it all works and sort of get to know you. But yeah, I'm definitely accepting new clients, and I'm excited for this next phase in my business. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. I'm so excited too. And everybody go follow her on Instagram at Trust Your Body Project, and join her Patreon and join her Facebook group. And thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you. It's fun.
And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for letting us be part of your journey.
Thank you so much for listening. If you loved this episode, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a beat. And if you really loved it, I'd be so grateful if you'd leave me a positive review on iTunes. For more self-love inspo, body acceptance, and mental health support, come follow me over on Instagram. You can find me at MyCoachRachel. See you next time.